you, okay?
That sounds good. Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And today you can tap into the source in which to live a wonderful new lifestyle of wealth and abundance that affects all areas of your life. Join Dr. Anne as she enriches us with her holistic wisdom on the Joy of Wealthy Libby radio program. And here's Dr. Anne.
Well, hello there, my be joyful ones, and welcome to the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I am just so wonderfully happy that you are here today on this beautiful Wednesday. And if you tune in some other day, I know it's beautiful that day too. Here at the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program, we ignite the flames of change in your consciousness to live a true wealthy life, which includes your career, your relationships, your recreation, whatever it is that you do for fun, your health and wellness, abundance and finances, and spirituality. This is Dr. Anne, your Joy of Wealthy Living host, and I know you're doing just perfect today. Today, our special guest is Danny Cabrera, and we're going to, I call this Hypnotherapy 101. Okay, he may be saying, what? Yeah, I know, but that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit later on in the program. But we're going to start out with a quotation by one of my favorite people, Yogananda. Yogananda, he was very big, yes, in yoga and meditation, self-realization, and getting in touch with oneself on the inside. He says, since you alone are responsible for your thoughts, only you can change them. You want to change them when you realize that each thought creates according to its own nature. Remember that the law works at all times and that you are always demonstrating according to the kind of thoughts you habitually entertain. Therefore, start now to think only those thoughts that will bring you health and happiness. Oh, yes, and I know you're having one of those another aha moments about, what is she talking about? My thoughts? Yes. Some of us do realize that our thoughts are our responsibility. But then there's a few of us who want to, of course, blame our reality on somebody or something else. And, you know, we all forget sometimes that we do take responsibility of what we think, the ideas that we think of in our minds, and we forget that, you know, it was me who thought of it and I was responsible for that. We forget also that we are very powerful, that there is what is called our subconscious mind, that there is power in our subconscious mind. Joseph Murphy wrote a classic book entitled The Power of the Subconscious Mind. Use your mind for the better, and you will be the best. You will be the best at whatever it is that you set out to do. You know, we can always go back into history and think about people who have done some atrocities to other people. And are we saying, did they use their minds for the best? And we can always come up with arguments and say, no, they did not. But yet, they used their mind for whatever they wanted to do, and it manifests in the way that they wanted to. But you have the power for good, and I choose good. And I hope that you who are listening will choose the better so that you will be the best in your thinking. And when you're thinking, the form that it will come from, will manifest, will be the best. Try it. You might like it. Remember that old commercial? Try it. You might like it. Try it. You may see some wonderful changes in your life. So everybody, just take a deep breath and release it. And just settle into your beautiful, comfortable chair. Or if you're standing, just release today's burdens off of you. Just release and let go and breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in deeply and just feel a wonderful calmness and serenity just enveloping inside you. And let the golden rays of light just come in and take control and just move through every part of your body right now. And as you feel these wonderful rays of light penetrating and illuminating through you, just know that there is only one great big thinker in the universe. And that great big thinker in the universe is spirit, or I might call it God. And you know what? We are united to this magnificent entity that creates all things past, present, and that which is yet to come. You and I are co-creators and co-thinkers in this universe. We just create marvelous, wonderful things in our lives with the presence of this great big thinker called Spirit, called God. I, Dr. Ann, speak my word for you and myself, knowing that our thoughts change the world that we see and have our being. Divine laws are always working according to the thoughts that are constantly released into the universe. It goes bam, wham, out there, and it comes back to us full. Yes, our thoughts come back manifest as that which we put out there. Our experiences are nothing but the ideas and thoughts that we put into form. As a thinker and co-creator of my world and your world, we are careful of our thoughts, our words, and yes, our actions. As we change our thoughts, we change our world. The law responds in favor for the positive and good thoughts I release right here and right now. As I shift my consciousness into a higher gear, I will experience, and you will experience, nothing but the good that the universe has for us. I am powerful right now because my thoughts are powerful, and I accept this to be true right here and right now. Oh, and I am so grateful as I release these words into the workings of the divine law that takes care of all the details, and I need not worry about the outcome, for I know that it is perfect right here and right now. And I say yes to the universe. I say yes to the universe. I say yes, knowing it is so, and so it is. And yes, it is, right here and right now. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel it? Just moving miraculously throughout you right here. Don't you see it changing in front of your eyes right here and right now? take a deep breath and just release all those other little bits and pieces of the past that no longer serve you for your highest good. Oh, don't you feel energized? I feel it for you if you don't. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I say yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. 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 Take a deep breath and know that it is so right here, right now. Oh, are you smiling? Are you feeling it? Did that smile creep up your face? Well, if it didn't, let me tell you about something that you shouldn't purchase for a gift for somebody, especially if it's for Christmas or maybe a birthday or anniversary gift or something like this. I heard of a story of a man. He bought his mother-in-law a gift for Christmas, and this gift was a cemetery plot. Yeah, you heard me. A cemetery plot for a Christmas gift. So the next year, he didn't buy her a gift at all. And, you know, she was a little perturbed because she didn't get a gift that year. And so she walked over to him and said, well, you know, son-in-law, why didn't I get a Christmas gift? So the son-in-law replied, well, you still haven't used the gift I bought you last year. Bang! That is when the fight started. Okay, so now you have a lesson. What not to buy, and if you really want to start a fight with someone that you love or don't love, buy a cemetery plot. Moving right along. Moving right along. This summer, I am going to have two book signings, one in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Keep a look out for the dates and the places of where the book signings are going to be held. And, of course, the book signings are going to revolve around the book Mastering the Art of Success. That is a collaborative book with Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Les Brown, and 12 other wonderful writers and coaches. And probably it's not set in stone, but I think I'm going to go back to my hometown of Chicago and give a book signing between now and the end of the year. So look out for information about that too. Are you listening to any of the other radio programs that are on the Law of Attraction Radio Network yet? I hope so. If not, please take the time to listen to a few, if not all, of the wonderful, diverse, and positive program that can be found there. Remember to listen to Jill Summer Hayes and her Juniper Tree. That is a potpourri of inspirational thought, philosophical fragments, and valuable facts and simple wisdom. Don't forget to listen to the Marie Diamond Show that transforms yourself and impacts the world. And how about Charles Williams? You know, I talked to you about that last week, about it's the guide for men in appreciating the goddess. Hope you all, especially you men, turn in and listen to that, how you can appreciate us goddesses. And how about Bertrand Dorey and Design Your Dream Life? We all talk about the life we want to dream, that we dream about. Here's a program that gives you step-by-step instructions of designing that dream life. Please tune in. Oh, but I want you to stay tuned to the rest of this program, because we're going to listen to Danny in a few seconds and Hypnotherapy 101. So just sit tight and listen to the program. And if you want to be a call-in guest with questions for our guests, here is the telephone number that you can dial into now, 646-716-6230, 646-716-6230. Hold tight and we'll be back in just a few seconds.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network and LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Well, we are back with our guest. Danny, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I am doing just marvelous. So, Danny, I'm going to tell our listening audience a little bit about you, and then you can tell them a whole lot more about you. How's that?
Sounds good. Okay. Before you do that, I want to compliment you on your opening talk. It was wonderful. It really talks about a lot of the things that we all need to know and really practice and do.
Well, thank you.
So I want to compliment you on that.
Thank you very much, because, you know, I try to fit in my opening with what my special guest specialty is, so it can all blend and tie in together. So I know with hypnotherapy, we're going to be talking about the subconscious mind and things like, I hope we're going to be talking about the subconscious, subconscious mind. But if not, as you said, it's something that we all need to, you know, just remember at times, you know, especially when we are in the state of blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's so easy these days to get into that state of depression and a state of blah. And it seems like no matter what you do or what you think you have done, you can't not lift that vibration and start attracting, you know, the good stuff. You know, if you're vibrating at a very low frequency, that's all you're going to attract into your life are those things that are vibrating at that same level. So we need to remember to raise our consciousness. And when we raise our consciousness, we are raising the vibrations in our life so that we can attract those things that we so desire, and that the universe is like waiting patiently for us to get there so that they can just throw it at us so that we can get it and keep it. You got it? Is that good, Danny?
That was great. Yes, you're right. Exactly.
Okay. So, Danny Cabrera, is that correct? Did I pronounce your name correct? Cabrera.
Very good. Yes, it's Cabrera. I pronounce it Cabrera.
Cabrera.
But that's good. It's one of those names that it's a little bit difficult to pronounce for the first time sometimes.
Sometimes. And, you know, and I see it, and I just call you Danny. I don't call you by your whole name, but, you know, that's okay. Danny has a psychology degree from Ottawa University here in Arizona. He studied hypnosis from New Beginnings Wellness Institute here in Arizona as well. He studied under the tutelage of Dr. Edwin Druring. Yes, and for those people who are into hypnotherapy, you may know who these people are, and they are well known in the hypotherapy field. So Milton Erickson, he was the father of modern hypotherapy, and so therefore, yeah, and so hypnotherapy, and so Danny's like, you know, the grandchild. You know, he's
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, he's the grandchild. He's getting the, he's got the direct line from the father to the son, and now he's the grandson. And he's established his practice here. He's been doing this for quite a long time, since 1996, and he has done a lot of work at a center called Phoenix Shanti, where this center is dedicated to help people with AIDS and alcohol drug rehabilitation. Danny believes that as human beings, we all have the power within ourselves to change. See there? We are on target today. To change regardless of who we are and what circumstances have happened to us in the past. Once the conscious mind has made the decision to change, the tool of hypnosis is all that is needed to convince the subconscious mind of that change. Wow, Danny, that's powerful. That is so powerful. So tell me this, Danny, how did you arrive at this place where you want to use this tool of a hypnotherapy to help people in general, all people? How did you get to this place?
Well, I am doing the counseling aspect of something that I've wanted to do. I don't know exactly how old I was. I'm going to say about 12. I was very young, a child, really. And I saw a movie called Now Voyager. It's an old Betty Davis movie. And I was just watching it, and it was about a woman in crisis. I mean, she was near suicide, a nervous breakdown. Her life was in shambles. And she met a man by the name of Dr. Jackwith, who was a counselor, a psychologist, and he changed her life around. And, of course, you know, the old Hollywood.
Yes.
After. But for me, it was a turning point because I had no idea there was such a field as counseling and psychology. And it was after that movie that I said, that's what I want to do when I grow up. And so, long story short, that's exactly what happened. I went to school and got my degrees in counseling and psychology and would like to... sometimes think that I do pattern myself after the kind Dr. Jackwith from that movie.
Well, you know, Danny, that is one of my favorite movies. And not to say that I identify with Betty Davis in there, but but it's one of those three, and they call it a three handkerchief movie, because you're going to be weeping and crying throughout that whole movie. And the thing about it, yes, she did turn her life around through those techniques that you probably have instilled in your practice too. But however, she was able not only to turn her life around, but she was able to help turn a young lady's life around too.
Yes, in the story, in the plot line, yes, she helped someone else, a young girl, with her life. Because
yes.
Her life was headed like Betty Davis's was at the beginning. And so, you know, it's a trickle-down effect. You know, we talk about the universe often, and that's exactly it. We are connected, and I'm doing my part with my practice of hypnotherapy to help people. And once they're feeling better and doing better with their own lives, their lives touch other people's lives, hopefully in a very positive manner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are so correct with that. So now I understand why your practice is called Now Voyager Hypnotherapy, because that was one of your favorite movies, and that was a turning point in your life. And so you're paying homage to that movie.
Exactly. And then the Voyager, because it talks about, there's a Walt Whitman poem in there, sailed out forth, now Voyager, Untold Want by Land and Sea, ne'er granted. sail thou forth, now voyager, to seek and find, which is a Walt Whitman poem. And really, basically, that says that, you know, you cannot get what you want unless you ask for it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, in our lives, unless we say what we want, either to ourselves and even sometimes to others, there's no way we can get it. And then the voyager, that the, you know, as if we are souls, our ships, our souls are a ship sailing through life. So I thought it was very appropriate to still use, and like you said, to somewhat pay homage to the movie that inspired my career by calling it Now Voyager.
Absolutely. So everybody, if they have, if they're living, well, not everybody, but nearly everyone has heard of hypnosis, or not necessarily hypnotherapy, but hypnosis. So is there a thin line or no line of separation between the two? And can you tell us more about hypnosis and hypnotherapy so that we can get a clear understanding? Because, you know, our audience may think, you know, by the time this program is over, they're going to be out there clucking like a chicken.
Well, as I said, you know, my education is in counseling and psychology. Along my road in with education and my, actually the best education I got was my tutelage from, with Dr. Druding, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the tool of hypnosis because it gets to the subconscious mind, which is our powerhouse. That's really where we operate from. And using that in conjunction with counseling, because again, hypnotherapy is nothing more than counseling using the tool of hypnosis.
Yes.
Better, faster, quicker with that tool. Now, to get back to your question, the difference between stage hypnosis and the hypnosis I do is just that. There is therapy involved with what I do, but in essence, it's the same tool, although it's just used differently.
Mm-hmm.
With the stage hypnosis, though, there's other aspects to it. You know, people acting like a chicken. And again, stage, meaning it's done for entertainment. And that's exactly what the hypnosis or stage hypnosis does, is entertain. It makes it appear that these people are being told or in the power, if you will, of the hypnotist and under his command to do his beckoning call. And in a way, that's true, because as the subconscious mind is willing to accept most anything, provided, though, that it's not against your will or moral standards.
Mm-hmm.
So really, if a person really hated chickens, for example, there's no way in the world they would get up on stage and act like a chicken, because they just do not like them. In fact, one time I did see a stage hypnosis show where the hypnotist had people pretend that they were on a roller coaster going up and down, and butterflies in their stomach and experiencing a roller coaster ride. Well, one guy just absolutely refused to participate. He just basically stood there on stage while everyone else was on their mind roller coaster. And he later did ask him, why did you not want to be on a roller coaster? And he said, well, I'll tell you. He says, I have a fear of heights, and there's no way anybody could ever get me on a roller coaster because it's too high.
Wow.
So,
that's
again, you know, the stage hypnosis is done for entertainment, but the bottom line is you still cannot make anyone do anything that they would not want to do normally under normal circumstances.
Okay, okay. And so you've been doing hypnotherapy for quite a long time, and so I read in your bio your practice has been up since 1996 or something like that?
Yes, since the last century.
Oh, my gosh, that is so far back. I can't even remember that far back, last century. You know, and when we used to call the last century, we're talking about the 1800s, and now we're talking about the 1900s. It's like, okay, I'm a relic now, so therefore.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all are, because we've all lived from that century transition.
Yes. So with your hypnotherapy, and you, I thank you very much for explaining stage hypnosis versus the hypnotherapy that you do within an office setting. Is it always in an office setting, by the way? Or do you do this over the telephone? Or what type of, setting?
I'm going to say that 95% of the time it is in an office setting, although there are times that I will do seminars and those kinds of things where there's a large group of people in a large arena or a large auditorium kind of setting.
Okay.
So it can be done anywhere, although my practice primarily is one-on-one in my office.
Okay. So therefore, I've heard that hypnosis is excellent for people who have tried every diet and meal plan and trying to lose weight, and people who cannot use the patch to stop smoking. So is this the kind of work that you help your clients work with if they're coming for to detach themselves or overcome negative habits that they may have in their lives?
Yes, exactly. And, I think it's sad, but it seems to be the par for the course is I am always the last resort that many people see. They've tried a number of things, other even pills and pharmaceuticals and those kinds of things. And then as a last resort, they do end up seeing me with result. And again, my business slogan or tag is, your mind is the greatest vessel. Kind of a connection with the Voyager thing, but vessel,
yes,
in the sense that our minds are so powerful that I myself don't even understand exactly how powerful and how and to what extent we can actually work with our mind. It's just a wonderful field to explore that and to experience that. And part of that, again, is the subconscious mind. And as I was saying earlier, that is really where we operate from. So using that tool of hypnosis, and, I should backtrack a second here. And
yes.
Kind of give you an understanding of what hypnosis is. Hypnosis itself is nothing more than a relaxed state. And in that relaxed state, it's better and easier to communicate with that part of our brain, or I shouldn't say brain, but our mind, the subconscious, where we actually operate from. So a person comes in, and we'll do some counseling before and talk about their situation or why they've come to see me. And then towards the latter part of the session, I will actually put them in a state of hypnosis and talk to them and basically say that whatever it is that they're wanting, smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So just to put it very succinctly, you just tell a subconscious mind, do not smoke, and wham. The person doesn't have a desire to smoke anymore, because we're talking to the head honcho, we're talking to the head of the corporation of our mind, the subconscious, who is willing to do that for us.
Okay, so basically, I'm figuring this is a little bit more complicated than what you just said, because you said it so very easily. It was like, okay, subconscious mind, stop smoking.
Yeah,
but is there more than that?
Very simply, because that's exactly what it is, putting in very simply. There is a little bit more involved, because one of the things that I believe in, and Dr. Druding taught me in his teachings with me, was that everybody's different. And we all know that we're all individuals, so there is no cookie-cutter pattern or cookie-cutter script that I use in my work. It's very individualized and tailored to that individual person. Because, again, sticking to the topic of smoking, which most people think or know that I do that, or to stop smoking, is that. But every smoker is different. Every smoker has different triggers. Every smoker has something that's individual to them about it. And those things are the things that we discuss and talk about prior to actually going under the state of hypnosis.
So when you are preparing or when you are putting a person under the state of hypnosis, do you, now this is, you know, I'm only repeating what I've seen on TV, and some of that stuff I see on TV may not be true. You know, it's not,
yes,
like,
much of it is not true.
So it's like, think of an object, or they give them this subconscious subliminal suggestion when they're under. So if you see an apple, I want you to walk like a duck or something like that. So, you know, and then they snap their fingers, and again, this might fall under the stage hypnosis. So therefore, for every time they go to the grocery store and they're in the produce department, they see the apples, and then they start waddling like a duck. So is that something that you put into their subconsciousness, or is it something that you tell them prior? What is your favorite object or thing? Could be butterfly, and every time you see a butterfly, you go into a state of happiness and joyfulness. So, you know, help me out here.
Okay. Yes, and thank you for asking that question, because, again, what I do is very different. It's like talking about a house cat and a mountain lion. They're both from the, you know, cat family,
yeah,
but they're both very different in,
yes,
their own life. And,
yes,
what I do is different, because I don't give you post-hypnotic suggestions like that. Every time you, like you use the example of the apple, every time you see an apple, your desire to stop smoking goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You now. I will talk to that person while they're under hypnosis, asking them and reminding them and suggesting to them the things that we had already talked about previously during the counseling aspect,
mm-hmm,
or a counseling part of our session.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, are your clients, okay, you already said that you are their last resort, correct?
Many times, right, yes.
And if you are the last resort, then they're pretty much open to anything by now, even hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And is it difficult for them to relax and let their minds step out of the box, let's put it like that, or step out of the skull and step out of their as Emerson said, out of their bloated nothingness?
Actually, no. And it was part of my training again with Dr. Druding to get a person to relax. Because, first of all, let me also say that anyone that's human can be hypnotized. Anyone. Because it's a natural state, very much like daydreaming.
Okay.
Now, granted, there are some people that are a little bit more difficult. And the two categories that I like to mention most are people that have a mental challenge. And that, again, also depends on the degree of the mental challenge. Or perhaps someone that's sociopathic. Now, a sociopath usually wants to always be in control and always be in charge of the situation.
Yes.
So they're a little bit more difficult to hypnotize, although they are still human, so they can be hypnotized, just with more, it would be more of a challenge.
Wow.
Now, given that, it's also, I'd like for you to know that you are always in absolute 100% control. Again,
mm-hmm,
the stage hypnosis makes it appear that the hypnotist is in control, and you're my zombie, and you're going to do this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
With hypnosis, the hypnosis that I use with the therapy, a person is always in control. Number one, they will not do anything that's against their will or moral standards.
Mm-hmm.
Before I put them under the state of hypnosis, I kind of give them a rundown of the things that I'm going to be talking about, so that we're still in agreement,
mm-hmm,
with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, for example, and this is where some of the misnomers come from out there. There's movies and TV programs that still present it differently. For example, there's a movie, and I enjoyed the movie. It's called Office Space. Many of you may have seen that. And it's about a person going to a hypnotherapist. And during the session, the hypnotherapist dies. And so the guy stays under the state of hypnosis throughout the whole movie. That is not true at all, because it's a natural state. That's like saying, Dr. Ann, that, you know, if you ever daydream, that you might get stuck in a daydream and never come back to reality.
Oh, my gosh.
You have complete and absolute control of your day, of coming in and out of a daydream. You can let yourself and your mind just wander and enjoy the daydream. But then something happens, you know, the lunch bell rings or traffic light changes. You're right back to your normal conscious self. And so you are always in absolute control. And the same thing when a person's with me in a session. They can come out of the state of hypnosis all by themselves at their own will and time if they like.
Wow. I want to ask you about that movie. It's called, what, Office Space? How recent?
Yes.
Is that movie? Is it
It's pretty old now. I'm going to say maybe in the early 90s is when it came out, maybe the late
80s. You say it's pretty old. Not as old as Nine Voyager, though. But
no.
It's just a mere kid up to Nine Voyager. But you said it came out in the 90s. And I'm quite sure some of our movie people who are into movies may want to check that out. Maybe go to Netflix and check out the movie, Office Space. And who's in that movie, by the way?
Oh, that I don't know.
Okay, that's
all
right.
But again, it was one of the movies that I did enjoy, but at the same time, it has a lot of misinformation in it. Which, that's why a lot of people don't see me first, is because there is a fear out there of
mm-hmm.
what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, more people are more educated, if you will, or more aware of the stage hypnosis. And
yes.
It's completely different. And even under the state of hypnosis, you are aware of what's happening in the room. You are aware that you're lying in my chair and what is being said to you. It's not like you go off into this la-la land trance and wake up and like, oh, okay, let me know what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Completely out of it.
Wow.
More often than not, again, you are always in absolute control. You just relax. It's like lying down and taking a nap and then me talking to you while you're napping.
Well, I've always thought that hypnotherapy and hypnosis were similar to meditation. So how do you...
They are cousins. I often refer to and often recommend meditation to many of my clients. I use the word cousin because they are very closely related, meditation and hypnosis.
Okay.
It's a relaxed state of the mind.
So how would you tell your client to use both? Okay, they will come to you for the hypnosis, and then is there any particular type of meditation that you would suggest to your client to use in addition to the hypnosis or the hypnotherapy?
Just meditation in general, although right now on my Facebook page, she's a very dear and good friend of mine, Dr. Blair, has made some wonderful YouTube videos, beginners and intermediate and advanced, on how to meditate. So I'm
really?
Often referring those to her videos on how to meditate. But there are many different kinds of meditations out there, many different techniques. It varies. The bottom line is, you know, the whole category of meditation is all good. So just like you and I are different people, you may like apples and I may like oranges, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
the bottom line is they're both fruit. You know, so it doesn't really matter what is best for you and what you feel comfortable with in doing and what
right.
might be easier for you to use.
So have you ever incorporated meditation into any of your sessions with your clients?
Well, again, it's very closely related. So putting a person under the state of hypnosis is very similar to putting yourself under a meditative state when you do meditate.
Okay.
So I wouldn't use the two together because they're very too similar.
Okay. All right. And with basically somebody who is very corporate, who's working in the corporate arena, how can hypnotherapy be used in the corporate areas? You know, some of them are being enlightened, but not enough of them are being enlightened where they are going to say, okay, we're going to take a 15-minute break to do some self-hypnosis, or we're going to take a 15-minute break for some meditation. So do you work with small businesses, corporations, on aspects of hypnotherapy?
Yes, it can be done in a corporate or work environment. One of the things, again, like I said, it's a relaxed state.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that they could use in a corporate or work environment is just that, just to relax and to de-stress, because stress is so prominent in our society today.
Yes,
really,
it is.
Really, the people think they are not stressed when they truly are.
Yes.
And, you know, unfortunately, we really can't avoid stress. All we can learn to do is to manage it. And one of the tools to manage it would be hypnotherapy. Because whatever our mind is thinking, our bodies react to. In fact,
yes,
they have done studies. You know, for example, Dr. Ann, if you were actually at the ocean and then they were to take, you know, a picture of your brain and the activity, and then you were in my office and I hypnotized you to imagine yourself at the beach, at the ocean, your brain would look exactly the same or respond exactly the same as it does when it's actually experiencing the real ocean.
So, again, back to my limited knowledge of hypnosis and referring to old movies and television programs that I've seen, the person is sitting in a chair and the hypnotist will say, now close your eyes and think of this, you know, or I have the watch in front of you. Will you follow the watch?
good. The technique that I use in the most it's a talking technique. So I'm going to talk you into the state of hypnosis by relaxing. You know, imagine a spot on the center of your forehead and begin to breathe deeply and exhaling slowly. Each breath relaxing you more and more would be part of the. It's called an induction. That I would use, just basically talking to that person.
Okay.
It's a stereotype using that, you know, the pocket watch swinging back and forth.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the stereotype that's out there for hypnosis.
Exactly, and that's one of the reasons I'm thankful that you invited me to be on your show, because I wanted to educate people a little bit more just about the basics of hypnosis, because more people, as we said earlier, are more familiar with the stage hypnosis and the fallacies that some of the TV programs, unfortunately, still today portray.
Absolutely.
There was one, you know, we're talking about movies again, not old, I'm forgetting it now, it was about the forensic people in Las Vegas researching crimes.
What, CSI?
CSI. There was an episode of CSI on there where someone was hypnotized to rob a bank.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, my God, there is no way that I could ever do that. If there was, Dr. Ann, I would be so rich right now and living in the Bahamas with my yacht and my house here and my home there, because people will not rob banks for me, you know, at my beck and call or my will. because it's against their moral standards, you know, so mm-hmm. I can't make anybody rob a bank for me. But yet, you know, the recent show is CSI. They showed that. I'm like, come on, people. Quit doing such, you know, blatant, erroneous stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that in itself is what I think it frightens people. Oh, my God, there's so much. I don't want them to make me rob a bank or, mm-hmm. or even the truth serum thing, too. You're under hypnosis, and now you're going to tell me all the spy secrets that you have in your mind.
Yeah.
Under the state of hypnosis, if there's any talking done between my client and myself, you are still in control. So I were to ask you a question right now, even Dr. Ann, and you can choose to answer it or not answer it. So you still have that same control, and it's not like you're under my power and you're going to let me know every dark secret that you have because you're under hypnosis.
Right.
Or have. I know you're a very kind, wonderful person. I didn't mean to imply that you have deep, dark secrets, but you know what I mean.
Well, you never know. As some people said, everybody has a skeleton or two in their closet.
I suppose that's true. That is true.
It just don't open it out and let it all fall out, you know. But so you mentioned the truth serum. I would never, not until now, associate the truth serum, or was that sodium pentothal, to hypnosis or hypnotherapy. So are they the same? I know you're getting injected.
They're not the same. That's what I'm saying. There's been a lot of, you know, misinformation given out there through the media, mm-hmm. and movies and TV programs where it shows that, you know, put a person under hypnosis and you know, like say even a spy movie and get the information out of them because that cannot be done.
Mm. I see. Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that perfectly because, you know, I don't want to be under the truth serum. It may not be very damaging, but I don't want everybody to know everything that Dr. Ann does, okay? But
well, exactly. And I'm going to say each and every one of us, myself included, are that way. We have a certain sense of privacy, yet my life, who you meet and who you see is me. But there is always that aspect of ourselves that is our private self, our own special corner of the universe, if you will, that is special to each and every one of us.
So do you consider yourself a healer?
Yes, I do. Simply because I am helping people heal using the part of their brain or their mind, many aspects of their bodies, because, well, we didn't even talk much about the things that I can help a person with hypnosis.
Well, what are some of those things then? Tell me.
Anything that affects the human condition. So, you know, depression, anxiety, grieving, and anything that we might experience, and even some positive things. For example, a person that wants to improve their sports game, we can help. Hypnotherapy can help them and improve their sports game, improve their thinking about the game so that, therefore, physically their game does improve. Because, like you said at the top of the show, how powerful our minds are with things that we tell ourselves.
Absolutely.
So if we place those negative, oh, I'm a bad golfer, or, you know, I've always been this, or, you know, I'm kind of afraid of the ball, or whatever those things that are playing in a person's head, we go in and, you know, change them or remove them, then their sport game automatically improves. So, anything that does affect the human condition, I can work with a person, including management. So it's not allowed in this country, unfortunately, I think, but in many other countries, they use hypnotherapy for pain management and for actually, you can even perform surgeries. Just using the tool of hypnosis.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. And you know, we've been talking about the movies and the TV programs and things. And I was just thinking while you were talking about using hypnosis to improve one's game, whatever the game is. In sports, it could be football, it could be baseball, since we're in the baseball season, and basketball. There's this program on television. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at this. It's called Necessary Roughness. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's check your local TV stations, everybody. It's on USA, and it shows a woman who is a therapist slash coach type person, life coach, and she's been hired to work with some of the members, team members of this football team. And I was just thinking how cool it would be if she would use some of the techniques that you have been talking about in helping to break some of the negative cycles that some of the players are displaying in that particular episode or episodes of the series. That would be really cool. Like they have the mentalist, but that's not the same. But they could have the hypnotherapist. Yeah, or the hypnotist. Yeah, the hypnotist. That's it.
They
the
can, and many of them do. Sometimes hypnosis, it's not done as much anymore, but many times they would use the term guided imagery, which was a different phrase, if you will, for the exact same thing as hypnotherapy or hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't much difference between, any difference really, between guided imagery and hypnosis.
Wow. Wow. Well, where can our listening audience find you? Where are some of the places that you can be located?
Well, there's my website, which is nowvoyagerhypnotherapy.com.
Okay.
You can also call me if you like. My phone number is here in Arizona, 602-301-6551. And I also do have a Facebook page, which is, you know, at facebook.com/nowvoyager.
Okay. Well, Danny, that sounds good. So could you repeat all of that information again, please?
Sure. My phone number is 602-301-6551. My website is www.nowvoyagerhypnotherapy.com. And I have a Facebook page, which is under the name Now Voyager Hypnotherapy. Which
okay.
Which is facebook.com/ Now Voyager Hypnotherapy.
And, you know, the old saying that time flies when we're having so much fun. So we must was having a tremendous amount of fun because it's almost time for us to go. But I do have one more question that I want to ask you. And the question is this. How does hypnotherapy help an individual create a more wealthier life?
Well, depending on what you mean by wealthy, and of course prosperity and wealth don't only include financial, it can include happiness and many other things where we can be wealthy in our lives.
Yes.
And exactly that. You know, when I talked earlier a moment ago about working with anything, I can help a person become wealthy in many areas of their life, be it, you know, happier in their love, happier in their careers,
mm-hmm.
happier in their financial status, or, again, thinking differently about money so that they can physically bring in more money into, you know, the physical moolah or whatever, moolah, into their lives, using the tool of hypnosis.
Well, Danny, it has been a wonderful and pleasurable time for having you as my special guest today on the Joy Wealthy Living program. And I hope that some of our listeners will scout you out so that they can make those wonderful changes in the way that they're thinking by using this powerful tool
hypnotherapy. I need to hypnotize you so you can now say the word better.
Exactly right. So everybody, tune in next week for the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program with Dr. Ann Williamson. If you'd like to contact Dr. Ann, go to her website, www.myjoyenterprise.com, or email her at drann@myjoyenterprise.com. We'll see you back here next week.